podcast. This is episode 45.
It's Rise and Rewire. I'll get that right one of these days. Rise and Rewire with myself, Brian, and Rod. Good to see you this morning, buddy.
Good to see you too, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm good. So on that note, I thought I'd just quickly ask you before we jump into today's topic about your morning rise, because that's such an important part of what we talk to people about, is that morning routine to really lock in those good habits and set your day on the right trajectory. Armor up.
Armor up.
Currently 6:30 a.m. So we're...
It's been great, dude. I mean, I got up early. You know, I always start my morning routine with a cup of coffee. And it's funny. I get up extra early now because I've started to enjoy not just having that cup of, you know, that cup of coffee in the morning to get everything going, but just to sit there and visualize things a little bit. You know, I think I'm a visual guy, and that time in the morning is pretty sacred. So started the day off with a cup of coffee. You know, once I got into the downstairs gym, did some stretching, push-ups, sit-ups, jumped onto the treadmill, did a 30-minute treadmill workout, you know, got off, did a little bit of meditation, had a few I love yous in the mirrors before I jumped out into the cabana. And here I am, man, ready to go. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, that's amazing, dude. Yeah. It's such a powerful thing. I mean, especially, you know, for me to say that as someone who was never a morning person up until a few years ago, it's amazing what a difference it makes. So my morning today was my lemon water, which is the first thing I do. And then I did 20 minutes on the Peloton. And then I did like a really deep breath work session today and then segued that into a meditation. And what I've been doing with my meditations recently is I've been doing the heart rate variability coherence app through HeartMath. And essentially that is a practice of bringing appreciation and love, feeling that in the heart center while you're practicing. And it actually measures the coherence. And then I can see day to day how I'm trending and how I'm able to do it. But the practice is really maintaining that appreciation and love in your heart, which is a perfect segue for today's topic, which is self-love. So I did a post about self-love last week that seemed to resonate with a lot of people. It's one of those topics that it can come across sort of as narcissistic. You know, you think self-love from a few years ago, it would have been you rubbing suntan oil on and flexing in the mirror while you're doing your hair. But
so is that you know, frowned upon? That's at this kind point? Of evolved.
that might fall under self-care now. I don't know. It's hard to say. But
Fair enough.
But yeah, but I mentioned that, you know, how important it is for self-love, but it's a practice. It's something that you need to practice. So maybe, Rod, you can start off and kind of share a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know what? I think we all kind of fall into the same bucket here where, I think people, including myself, are investing ourselves into these narratives that we've created in our heads. And, you know, we've created these personas that we believe to be our identities. You know, when I think of myself, I think back, I think, you know, Rod, the football player, or Rod, the recruiter, Rod the drinker, or fucking Rod, like the partier, you know, spending many years trying to live up to this man that you create, and I thought I was to be, where you have to realize, again, talking about just looking back a few years ago and, you know, feeding that ego bucket, you know, that when you attach yourself to these made up identities, you're riding the highs and, you know, unfortunately they come with some pretty fucking lows too. So I think with me, I think once I realized that all these personas that I've created, you know, are things that I'm doing, that's not me. You know, so I don't need to change me, you know, and think that I need to live up to this made up identity, to truly, you know, love myself. I mean, cause again, with this ego bucket that you know, sometimes you're feeding that, you know, that somebody-ness bucket, I would call it. There's a lot of, you know, flaws and defects, and that's all in our heads, right? I mean, I think, you know, needing to discount from these attachments that I've created is pretty blissful. And I think, you know, because, you know, again, this is where, you know, earlier on, you know, a younger Rod, I always believed, am I worthy of love? Am I worthy of happiness? And now I'm feeling, fuck, man, I'm feeling like alive. I feel like, you know, I'm able to love myself because I'm able to, you know, take myself out of those made up worlds or narratives or identities, and truly look at myself.
Wow, man. That was some very good, deep self-awareness there. I love the part about being worthy of love. Cause I think for some reason, a lot of us kind of grow up or have some kind of feeling that we're not good enough. We're not worthy of love. And that's why we sometimes strive externally to try to fill that void through validation, through other people. And like you said, the highs are high when you're getting that validation. It's like, oh, you know, Rod's the man here, you know, whatever's on. And then those times when all that kind of goes away and you're just quiet with your thoughts again, alone. And those are the lows because it's right. Not there, you know? And,
right.
Something else you said that resonated with me was loving ourselves, you know, right where we are here and now. I mean, and you told me before you did it, like you said, there's parts of me, like when you started this practice, I mean, I love these parts of me and this part.
Right.
But it's not throwing away anything. It's just loving yourself right where you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think that's something that's really hard for all of us to do sometimes. I know for myself, you know, those parts of me that come up, that old programming, certain things where I have an expectation of where I want to be and where I actually am. It's hard to love that stuff too. But when you practice doing that, it just seems to help actually manifest what you want, which is a very strange phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude. And you know what, just back to what you're saying about, that external validation, fuck man, I'll raise my hand right now and say that external validation, you know, I fucking craved external validation. And this was, you know, I've realized it's fucking a byproduct of me not being happy with me. You know, I could never live up to that person I painted as that perfect, you know, person. So I looked for the external validation for someone to help build me up when I was in those fucking lows. And I think these are, even in the morning, when we talk about morning practices and, some of the things that you do and I do, of trying to figure out that awareness and asking those questions and spending time with your thoughts. You know, I had to ask myself, what was I looking for and why? I mean, we talked about the why a few weeks ago. Was it words that I was looking for? Was it a feeling that I was looking for? Like what was it? I mean, I didn't, you know, I realized it didn't matter what anyone was saying or giving validation. I needed to find that validation and that love for myself before I could truly accept when somebody kind of pumped my tires a little bit. I needed to kind of dig deep and figure out why I was looking for that. So yeah, it's fucking external validation is huge, dude.
And you know, about the loving yourself, what you just said as well, it's when you actually begin to authentically love yourself, when you are able to, you know, look yourself in the eye and really say, hey man, you know, I fucking love you, bro, you know, to yourself and mean it and feel it and embody that feeling. But when you actually do, and I mean, this is not something that's sustained at 100% throughout the day. That's for sure. I mean, this is, you know, we're always fighting against our programming and such. But when you feel that way, doesn't it make you so much better at loving others and loving life and loving, you know? So it's one of those things where, you know, let's take a relationship, for example. If you love somebody and you pour it all into them, but you don't really love yourself, you're actually using them to fill that void for you and you're not giving them your best. So yeah, it's that thing where you got to fill your own cup first, you know, and which seems counterintuitive at times. It seems selfish.
Yeah. No, and I always think of that analogy, like, you know, when we haven't been on a plane for a long time, but you know, when the stewardess, you're looking up and they're talking about, hey, if we go down, that oxygen mask will drop, you know, just feed yourself first before you help the little ones and help the elderly and help your wife and all these great things. I mean, I always think of that where you gotta fill that oxygen up first and fill that love up first. And like, you know, on that note as well, I mean, you know, I don't believe this is a coincidence where, you know, I just had my 10-year anniversary, my wife and I, this weekend. And I feel like the love is fucking through the roof. And I know a big part of that is me finally loving all of me. Because as I said, you know, as you said before, or just a little minute ago, you know, I haven't been practicing this as long as you have. And a year has flown by, but, you know, last year when I tried this for the first time, you know, I teared up, man. And it's like, I couldn't get those words out without some emotion. And I realized I had to baby step that a little more where, yeah, just as you said, I had to kind of say, I love this part of me. I wasn't ready to fully love all of me, which I was able to get over. And that was through a lot of meditation. And it was a lot of time with myself. And it came with heavy tears and some emotion, but you finally get over that hump and you're like, fuck, it's pretty blissful, man.
Absolutely. That's amazing. And it really is a practice. So, you know, on that note, I'm going to share like a couple of ideas for people who may be, you know, curious about how can you bolster the love for yourself. And there's obviously, meditation is a big factor because that creates self-awareness. So first of all, you're able to sit and examine yourself, and then you start to notice those thoughts that are coming up that are negative, you know, I'm not good enough, whatever it might be. And then you realize you're not your thoughts. So, you know, we talk about that quite a bit on this podcast and meditation, but there is another practice that's directly related to this, and it is a little bit awkward for some people, but there's a great book by Kamal Ravikant called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depended on It. And he shares some practices in there. And a couple of those are what I actually share with clients at times. And one of them is just to look yourself in the eye, in the mirror. And I often say when you're brushing your teeth, because that's a time that you're in the mirror a couple of times a day, hopefully. And just look yourself in the mirror and just repeat, I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. Now that could be, you know, it might sound funny. You might want to close the door in case somebody calls the authorities, but, you know, and it might bring up emotions. It might stir some things up, and you might just say, you know what, fuck, you're a fraud. You don't, you know, and this is good. This is all part of that process of self-awareness. But just that practice every day may open up something very powerful in terms of like, whoa, you know, you just, maybe you get that little surge and you just, your heart just kind of fills for a moment. And it's just the little push that you need to kind of get you on that path. And it's mostly awareness, but little practices like that help. And there's one other thing I wanted to add. And this is something that I do as well. And that is that sometimes I look at current day Brian and, you know, I might have some bias against him because of things he's done or, you know, what I might look at myself and just not have that self-compassion that particular day when I see, excuse me, this version of me. But inside all of us is that little child, is that inner child that's very innocent and that may have been hurt, that may have been traumatized, that may have not been seen, that may not have felt that love and therefore felt that they weren't loved. And I have a photo of myself from a period of my childhood that really, I look at that picture and it just really brings strong emotions up with me. And if I look at that picture, knowing that little guy is still inside me, I can really embody that I love myself feeling and really hug that little boy who is really just part of me, you know? So that's a very powerful practice for me that really helps me engage with that and takes it to like another level at times when I'm looking at my face right now, not feeling that I'm loving that dude.
And quickly, dude. So if you're not ready for that, if you're not ready to do the I love yous in the mirror, is it just as powerful to write it down where you write down 20 I love yous? Like, is that a way of at least kind of trying to break the barrier down a little bit?
You know, I wouldn't say that like I'm an expert on that particular practice in that particular book. And I've read a couple of books around this. The actual process of saying it or repeating it silently in your head while you have a soundtrack. So another example was he would take a piece of music that was 6 or 7 minutes long, typically just something instrumental that really brought up a very strong emotional feeling of love, and then just silently repeat, I love myself throughout that song.
Nice.
He also said too, if it doesn't matter if you don't believe it or not, when you're saying it over time,
right,
suddenly you sort of switch the narrative a little bit. But I would absolutely, like, journaling is huge too. It's a great way of expressing yourself. So, I mean, if you don't want to say it, I would, sure. I think writing it down would be better than not, but I'd have to check the science on that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, like I'm speaking to you, me, and anyone who's listening, like, when's the last time that you just crushed it straight out of the gates? Like anything that we do in life, it's just reps. I mean, you know, you need to kind of get it in. And if it's writing it down, if it's looking in the mirror, like with me, for looking in the mirror at this point, I try and really concentrate on my eyes. I keep my eyes like just right the whole time looking straight into my eyes. Because sometimes I will let the ego, you know, I'll start looking in the mirror and looking at me. I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't really look all that good today. And then you're like, fuck, look at the eyes. So, and that's, again, that's just practice and that's more reps. So.
Yeah, it is reps, man. You are rewiring your brain. You're changing the neuron pathways for that feeling of love. So again, it doesn't matter if you don't believe it at first, and if it's really difficult to say, if you just power through it and you can bring that feeling of love into the body through those words, you are changing those maps in your brain. And you know, when you love yourself, the world starts to love you back a little bit more. You can tell the people, I can really tell people now who, based on the words they use, their mannerisms, and the way they treat other people at times, those people are not the people that are loving themselves, you know? And if you really understand that, you can understand sometimes why people behave the way they do, in a negative fashion, because, you know, and when the world is coming down on you hard and, you know, you've got a string of, let's call bad luck or whatever it might be, you might just say, fuck it, and want to, you know, like, what's wrong with you? And really not, you know, it's very counterintuitive to beat yourself up and it, because then the world starts to shuffle sort of in order to that. So love. But the practice, you know, of course, meditation, it always comes back to that for me too. It's really just sitting with yourself to understand those patterns too, to really notice that, wait a minute, that thing keeps coming up where I'm like doubting, or I'm just not good enough in that thought. And I'm believing that thought, but the thought's not true. Thought's just a thought. And we're allowing it to manifest into something more. And then it's, you know, we start to, our level of self-love just starts to kind of diminish and we need to replenish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think if there's one thing that I could suggest more of, is just remember all of these things that you create in your own head and all the attachments. And really, it's the essence of you, not the function. It's the essence of who we are is where the magic really lives, you know, and stop beating yourself down with the shame and the fucking judgment on what you do, and really start loving you for just being you. I think that's the best advice I could kind of give at this point.
That was really well said, buddy. Because I mean, that 3D shame, guilt, and fear box that we stick ourselves into, the one way to transcend out of that feeling is through love. Love of self, love of others. And at the essence of who we are, we really are love as well. So that was really well said, brother. And probably a good place to wrap up. So everybody go love yourself to death, well, to life, whatever. Just love yourself hard and have a beautiful day.
You too, brother. Have a good one.